Well, hello everyone, and welcome to session 6 in our series, My Strong Spirit. And I trust that each of us can say, my spirit is stronger today than it was weeks ago when we started this. And my prayer is that we have established a baseline here from which we can continue to grow and increase and be just like the increase of His kingdom, which is that part of us that we are strengthening. So today we're going to be talking about stronger with exercise and rest. And rest may surprise some of you, but I think you'll see why it is so important to us. So let's pray and we'll jump right in. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that as we partake of your word, as we saw last week, that we are strengthened, that our inner man grows strong. And Father, today we just say we don't want to be hearers only, but we want to be doers of your word so that we can accomplish everything that you've given us to do. And so teach us, Holy Spirit, that we may grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, last week we talked about a proper diet. And that's not a fun word maybe for anyone, but for when you think about what we talked about, the word, it's something, as we saw, that we just need to look forward to and expect just as much as we would some excellent spiritual food, if not more. Now, we've been anchored in Proverbs 18:14, which says, the strong spirit of a man sustains. It takes hold of him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit who can raise up or bear? So there's no question that we need to have a strong spirit, one that we are growing in strength in continually. And as we looked last week, we saw that God's word is nourishment to our spirit. Jesus told us in Matthew 4, responding to the temptation of the enemy, says, he answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So Old Testament's good for us, nourishing. Psalms is good for us. New Covenant is most important for us. And so the whole Bible is given to us. And what a great gift it is. Psalm 119, the 103rd verse in Passion, says, how sweet are your living promises to me. Sweeter than honey is your revelation light. And that's what we're really talking about, seeking the word, not just to read, but to receive revelation on what God says in his word and how we will live and prosper in this life. So we will ask the question then, how do we esteem his words? Job in Job 23 verse 12 tells us this, I have treasured the words of his mouth, talking about the Lord's words, more than my necessary food. And that's an indication of how we ought to be toward the word. We saw that his word gives us strength in Acts 20 verse 32. It says, Paul speaking says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And the Bible in basic English says it a little bit differently. It says to make you strong. Now, we know that's not talking about a physical strength alone, but it's talking about our inner man getting stronger and stronger. And then verse 28 of Psalm 119 says, my soul melts from heaviness. And what did we say last week? Now, all of us are going to go through some times where our soul becomes an issue with it. It's not reacting exactly as the way we have expected it to. But then he says, strengthen me, again, in my spirit, according to your word, or in line with your word, or using your word as the Lord's word as food to nourish us up. Now, last week we closed looking at the instructions that Joshua got after he was taking Moses' place. And remember that Joshua got a lot of exposure to the presence of God, to the Spirit of God. Up on the mountain, in the tent, meeting of the tent, in 33 verse 11 of Exodus, it tells us that he stayed in the tent after Moses left. And as we talked last week, the Lord just reminded me, and I had really never thought about it, I stayed there with him. As we seek Him, He wants us to be in His presence. But what was the first thing He was told when He took over? Be strong and courageous and keep the Word of God in your mouth, meditating it, muttering it. Keep it at the forefront, because that's what provides strength for our spirit. Now, we want to continue this talk about strengthening ourselves today, but we're going to do it looking at stronger with exercise and, as I mentioned, and rest. Now, I want to use 1 Timothy 4:6 that we saw last week to kick us off in this session also. Starts off saying that we're to be constantly nourished. So this is not a once-a-week affair. You have to eat food to stay strong physically, and you can't just get what you need once a week in going to a church and listening to the Word taught. Hopefully, the anointed Word, as we saw, because that's what builds faith for us. But we're to be constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine that we've been following. And so this week, I want to ask the question, well, why do we get that instruction? And in the Amplified Bible, the 7th verse, the last part says this, train. Now, when I think about someone going into training, they're working out, they're exercising, they're taking care of their body, they're feeding it the right food, they're doing the thing that they're being trained in over and over so they do it more effectively. Train yourself toward godliness, and then it adds, keeping yourself spiritually fit. Just like we want to be physically fit, walking is a good thing, eating proper food is a good thing, but it is more important, we see, to do what? Keep ourselves spiritually fit. Now, one thing that's necessary for that person who's training is exercise, doing something, polishing the skills that they have, doing it over and over and over. And in that, I want us to see 1 Timothy 4, and we're going to pick up there, but we're going to start with 7b, and then we're going to move on. So exercise ourselves toward godliness. Focus on keeping yourself spiritually fit. And then verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness, keeping ourselves strong in the Spirit, is profitable for all things. And what do we see? It's profitable for having the promise of life that is now, today, and of that which is to come. Now, the New Living, in an older version of the New Living Testament, says that we're to spend our time and energy in training ourselves for spiritual fitness. So, training and fitness, and that requires an exertion of some effort, of some time. Verse 8 in the New Living says, physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important because it promises a reward both in this life and to next. So it's very plain to us that we've got to work out, if I can use that term. We've got to lift some spiritual muscles in order to develop a strong spirit. Now, Hebrews 5:14 in the Good News Bible reads this way. Solid food, on the other hand, is for adults. And that's referring to people who are maturing, who have been or starting to develop their strong spirit, or they're maintaining it. And then listen to this phrase. Who through practice are able to distinguish between good and evil. So it takes work to live with a strong spirit, to being able to discern through our spirit what is good, what is not good, what is profitable for us, what is not profitable for us. Now let's talk about this word through practice or by practice. There are some key areas of practice that I believe we need to focus on. And the first is being a doer of the word, which we prayed about. And so I want to go back to Joshua 1:8 that we looked at last week. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And that was what we talked about last week. We've got to hear it, see it with our spiritual eyes, and then begin to speak it out. It says, but you shall meditate it or mutter it day and night, so that you may be careful to do And that's the focus of this one, being a doer of the word, so that we may be careful to do all according to all that's written in it. For then, so it's not just hearing it, but it's by doing it. And that's why he adds this so strongly. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So for us to prosper and have success, we have to do something. We have to exercise. We have to be doing exactly what the word tells us to. Now, I want to say it this way. We must practice what we're learning in the word. If we're going to grow in an area, then we're going to have to put word pertaining to that area of the spirit we're trying to develop. If it's faith for a certain thing, which maybe we haven't been strong in. But it's that hearing the word and practicing it, that's through that practicing that spiritual growth comes. That's also, as we do it more, is where we mature and it becomes easier and easier. And let me say, the enemy doesn't want you to do that. And in the very last session, we're going to talk about some things that I believe he comes against us with. James 1:22 through 25, and I'm going to read this in the Bible of Basic English. And this is, again, a familiar scripture talking about doing. But be doers of the word. Can I say that a different way? Be practitioners of the word. Now, practitioner has two meanings in it. It can mean someone who is practicing, but it can also be someone who is practicing what he has become good at. In other words, influencing others with it. So be a doer of the word and not hearers only. And then it says, if we're hearing the word and not doing it and hearing only, listen to what it says, that we are blinding ourselves with false ideas. In other words, we're hearing it, but it doesn't become real to us. It's something that's nebulous, that's false, that we don't see it as truth when we must be operating in it. He goes on to say in 23, because if any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his natural face in a glass. For after looking at himself, he goes away, and in a short time, he has no memory of what he was like. Now, in thinking about that statement, that a man who looks in the mirror but doesn't really do it, doesn't practice it, he has no memory of what he was like. What this is saying to me is that the potential we saw of this word operating in our life, we forget it. We don't remember what it will do for us or what we need to do, how we need to act on it to make it happen. And you know, it's like in sports. You train yourself to do a certain function in sports. And then when the situation presents it, when the pressure is on, that's your natural reaction to that situation. And you don't think about it. It just comes from inside you. And that's the same thing I believe we're talking about here. So that if a bad news report comes to you, then you're ready for it. And you say, I know what Isaiah says. Whose report will I believe? I have that report right in me. And so we see the analogy between a trained athlete and one who is trained to be a doer of the word of God. 25 goes on to say, but he who goes on looking into the true law, which makes him free. So it's going to produce in our life. This word is set to produce in our life as we act on it. And how does that happen? It doesn't happen being not a hearer without memory. But it does happen when we're a doer, putting it into effect. So in other words, we're practicing it so that we don't have to stop and think or go back and read it again and confess it 15 times to get going again. But we've prepared ourselves for this time in life, for such a time as this, and that we put it into effect and look at the benefit. This man, this woman will have a blessing on their acts. To grow in an area, to mature in an area, to make something repeatable in our life, we must meditate on the Word of God over and over and over to keep it alive. That's why an athlete does drills over and over, not just one time or one day, but day after day after day. Some of our basketball team, when we get together, we talk about some of the drills, basic things that we did over and over and over, to where we didn't really appreciate what it was doing for us until we got in a game and the pressure was on and we had that established in our life so strong and we executed. And that is the same way we're to be in the Word. So being a doer is one area of exercise, practicing it, going over and over. One area that we need to practice is being diligent. Now, when I taught on diligence earlier this year, late last year, we had no idea that we'd be talking about this. But God is so good to us. He's given us things that are going to help us in developing our spirit. He's already instructed us on them. So this ought to be a good reminder, a good review. And that's one of the reasons that there are certain things you practice. If you don't do it every day, you repeat it. Once you get it ingrained so that you just keep it fresh in you. Amplified, 2 Peter 1:10. Because of this, be all the more solicitous and eager to be sure. Now, that means to ratify, to strengthen, which is what we're talking about, to make steadfast or make sure. And what are we making sure when we've do these things around the Lord, and particularly now with diligence? We are making our calling and election, really, we're making it sure. We're making it possible for us to fulfill it. And then it says, if we do this, we'll never stumble. Now, when it says in this Amplified, be all the more solicitous, it's talking about be diligent to do that. Again, you're developing a natural reaction. You see somebody fall, they hurt themselves, and your first instinct then is, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? No, it's to bend down, may I pray for you. And let the Spirit just take control. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the New Living Translation tells us, work hard, implying practice, so that you may present yourself to God. Now, this work hard in most translation is be diligent to. But I wanted to give you some insight into when we talk about being diligent, what it means. So it does take some effort. We do have to be a doer of something. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be diligent. Be a good worker. One who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Now he's talking to Timothy about his calling to minister the word. But each of us have a responsibility. We have to be diligent, as we're going to see in just a moment, to practice prayer. And there are certain things that we're going to have to practice with prayer to make it more profitable for us. Now, in doing this, whether it's praying for others, sharing the word, standing up and giving your testimony, stepping out, practicing something that you're not comfortable with can be very uncomfortable those first few times. It can even be outright or downright intimidating, but it's an absolutely necessary thing for you and I to do. And what must we be doing? The words, the instructions we received as we partake of the proper diet of the Word of God. Now, I've got for this next section two words, but I'm going to tell you, even though they may appear different, in the Greek language, they are absolutely the same word. And it's perseverance and it's patience. And for a lot of us, we don't like either one of those words. But it comes from the same Greek word, hupomone. H-U-P-O-M-E-O-E-M-O-N-E is how it's spelled. And I want to give you I want you to have this revelation that these words come from this same Greek word, because then you're going to begin to see the link as we need to persevere, or as we consider being patient in some things. The same muscles We're exercising the same muscles, if I can say it that way. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, for our how-to, for our what our practice should look like. That through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So, through perseverance, but it's not just doing it because we're setting our mind to it and we're just, by gosh, I'm going to do this. It's letting the Scripture encourage us to persevere in this training, to do these things over and over, to get through this, to break through that wall to where we can just say, oh, I can do that. Just like we get revelation, what do we say? Oh, I see that. Now, think of that as patience. It was written in earlier times for our instructions that through patience and the encouragement of the Spirit. So you've got to be patient with yourself. You've got to be patient to have trust in what the Lord's spoken, that He will bring it to pass in your life. Again, what He calls you to do, He will enable you. He will give you the grace to accomplish it. Romans 5:3-5. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations. Now, exult in our tribulations, that don't mean we look forward to them. But to me, what that says is we're rejoicing in them because we know we've persevered, we've been patient, and we're going to walk right through them. And what do we know that? That tribulation, and this is what it's beginning to explain here now in this verse, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, or you could say patience, and perseverance brings about proven character, and proven character hope. So you see the build he's doing. When trouble comes, we know we've trained for it. We've been patient in our training. We've persevered in our training. So when real trouble comes, we don't get upset. We know that we've been through this training, and this training has brought about a proven character. In other words, it's what? Built up our spirit man into a strong being. And then knowing that and the Word, just as we saw earlier, we have hope. And then notice verse 5. Hope does not disappoint. When we've been trained, when we've practiced, when we've been a doer, then hope does not disappoint. Now, you may say, boy, that's a lot to go through. It may be. But look at the rewards of it. Revelation 2:3. Talking to the church and commending them, he says, and you have perseverance. In other words, you've trained and been exercised by a good coach. Now, who is that good coach for you and I? It's Holy Spirit. So don't think you're doing this all yourself. The Holy Spirit is working with you. He's giving you these instructions. He's telling you, no, you need to tune it this way. You need to turn a little quicker in this situation. So it says, and you have perseverance because we've been trained well by the best coach there is, and we have endured. We've walked through it for His name's sake. And look at what it says. We've not grown weary. Why haven't we grown weary? Because we've prepared for it. We've worked out. We've trained our spirit man not to react and get tired and quit. Again, now we're talking about some things that may not be the easiest, but they are so, so important. Now, the next one is praying. And you say, well, do we really need to practice praying or just do it? Well, I believe we got to pray, but I want us praying in the right way. I want it to be the fervent, which I believe is heartfelt, energized prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. So I want this prayer that we're doing, praying that we're doing, to be a benefit to us. So we want to pray, and I want you to do it in your earthly language. And I think it's well, if you've received your heavenly language, to do that. In other words, praying in tongues. And there's one other one we're going to drop in here in this last part of this. The first thing is we want to pray His will. What is His will? The Word. So if somebody says, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, find a scripture that you're trying to get understanding on and just say, begin to pray that scripture. Lord, I want you to show me, and then pray it. And watch what the Lord will do. Because 1 John 5:14-15 says this, that this is the confidence we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. So if you're praying His will and asking that to come about in your life, you're practicing doing praying in the right way. It says He hears us when we pray according to His will. And if we know He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked from Him. So pray and practice praying using His words. Now, the next one is praying in tongues. And some of you know right where we're going, Jude 20. And it reads this way. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe this is so important because I don't think I'm unique. But there are so many times when I'm praying for a matter. Praying for individuals, praying for our nation, praying about things in my own life, that I run out of words and verses I know to pray. But I know when I'm praying in my spirit man, when my spirit man is praying through my mouth, I am praying the heart of the Lord. And that really takes us back to then we're doing exactly what we just talked about in praying His will. And the best part about that is Satan doesn't have a clue what's going on. But this last one, I don't want you to forget. This is so important for us to practice. And it may be one of the most difficult of these three to do. Listen to New Living Translation for Jeremiah 33:3. Ask me. Pray His will. Pray in spirit. Pray in English. Pray in the spirit. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come. Now, to do that, to have that manifest in our life, we must practice listening. Take time to listen. Don't just pray like a house of fire for 20 minutes and quit and go do something else. Take time to listen. I think I'm better off when I'm praying less than, we said, 20 minutes. So take some portion of that. And I spend an equal amount of time just sitting quietly, listening to the Lord. So, so important. Now, this one is the last of the exercising that I want to talk about today. And I've saved it for the end because for many of us, I think it's often the most difficult. And it really ties back in to something I was sharing in healing school about healing in healing school concerning healing. And it was like the Lord prompted me to stop and just mention, don't take offense. And this ties right into it because when we walk offended, it will impact. That a word for offense is the word we get scandal from. So in Mark 11:22, it simply says, have the faith of God or have God's kind of faith. Then the Holy Spirit instructs us in two verses on saying and praying, exactly what we're talking about. And then in 25, he concludes it. And I want to read this to you in New Living. We're doing a lot of the non-standard translations today. He says, but when you are praying, for first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against. And he goes on to say, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Now, I think the Lord will forgive you, but it's hard for us to receive that forgiveness when we're holding a grudge against somebody else. So, so important that we do what? That we first forgive. Now, we can talk about, I'm not going to teach any exhaustingly on forgiving today. You can talk about forgiving and forgetting. Forgiving, well, let me just say it this way. What are we talking about here? Exercising the spiritual man in us, not our mental. And that really leads us to the next verse, which is Isaiah 43:25. New King James, the Lord God says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again. Now, for you and I, we might say, well, gosh, I have forgiven. I know I have forgiven, but I still see that image in my head. Let me tell you what the word think of them really means in the Hebrew. This is profound. It means to mark something. And you might say, well, that's just the opposite. It implies to remember and to mention. Did you get that? To remember and to mention. Now, see the significance of this. you've prayed about forgiving somebody, you've had an act, and it comes to mind. You do remember it, but what do we not want to do that will help us not remember it? We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to speak about it, even to ourselves. Keep from, in other words, what really what we're saying, what I think Scripture's teaching us here is, keep from meditating on it. Because when you meditate on it, you're making room for it and giving it a place. And once it has a place, it's going to exercise in you. I think that's just a really profound thing for us to understand. Now, let's talk quickly about rest. Rest is necessary for a strong spirit. We can't go every second of every day. You need to rest in the spirit just like you rest at times physically. But resting in the spirit is a little different. Hebrews 4:9, first of all, tells us that there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Now, we know if we read Hebrews 9, 10, and 11, that rest is important because in verse 11, he turns right around and repeats it. And you know when Scripture repeats things, either in one sentence or right one right behind the other, it's very important. And look at this one. Let us be diligent to enter into that rest. So this is something that we have to practice to do. And then you may say, well, why is it so important? Well, verse 10, sandwiched between 9 and 11, tells us, he who has entered his rest, not our rest, but the rest of God in our spirit man, has himself also ceased from his own works, just as God did from his. So when we are resting spiritually, we're not thinking about, we're not confounding our heart and our mind, our soul, with how am I going to make this happen? What have I got to do for it to happen? Where am I missing it? All those kind of thoughts. So this rest we begin to see is important. When we enter his rest, we cease using our flesh to bring things into existence. And when we do that, then we use our spirit man to bring things into existence. And everything that we get from the spirit that manifests in this world comes through our spirit. Our strong spirit. So resting involves waiting on the Lord. Now, does that sound a little similar to patience? So maybe patience is even developed as we rest. Resting does involve waiting on the Lord. Now, I think this is how we are sustained and how we're kept from growing weary. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord do what? Shall renew their strength. Wait a minute, I thought we had to have joy. Well, if you're really having patience as we're going through things and you're resting in Him and you're being still before Him, there can be joy that's rising up in you, not something to take it away from you. It goes on and says, they'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This verse has been special to me because this was a verse my dad gave to our basketball team before a state championship game in 1969 when we went into overtimes, plural, and people were worn out. And yet, it was like we had super energy. And I can see Charlie just flying and blocking the shot in that game when he'd played mostly the whole game. So resting, waiting on the Lord implies being still. Let me reinforce that. Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. Now we quote that and we quit, but I want you to look what happens when we do this. Look at the next verse, the rest of this verse in 10 and the first part of 11. When we're still and know that He is God, He says, I will be exalted amongst the nations, and I'll be exalted in the earth. Before he can do that, he's going to be exalted in you, in your spirit, man. You're going to see him in this manner, as others see him. And you're going to know what verse 11 says. The Lord of hosts is with us. We see similar in Psalm 4, verses 3 and 4. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. We know we've been sanctified, set apart unto Him. The Lord will hear when I call. Be angry. Do not sin. In other words, don't hold a grudge. Forgive. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. And then it's got that word Selah. Pause and think or reflect on that. Now, you can remember with me that rest and confident trust in Isaiah 32:17 is talk about the effect that peace has on us. Rest is a part of peace, and confident trust is equally a part of it. Now, we also saw last week that what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we get that from Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, the 10th verse. Now, excuse me, Nehemiah 8:10, not Jeremiah. But this is what I want you to see. We're talking about rest now. Right after the children of Israel found out when they had the word taught of all they had missed, they got sad. And that's when the Ezra and Nehemiah said, no. Don't be sad for the joy of what you've just learned. That's going to be your strength. Now look at this next verse. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. So strength in the joy of the Lord involves what? Resting in peace in Him. Now, if you think about that one then, because remember, He's revealing Himself to you, then Isaiah 26:3 makes better, I think we get some revelation from it. What does it say? You will keep in perfect peace, in perfect rest, in confident trust, Him whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, resting, waiting, being still in the Lord because He trusts in you. Resting, being still, trusting. What does it do when you're doing that? You're not looking at all the problems. You're looking at Him. And then finally, for this resting, being a part of the practice that we must do to be built up in Him, or the words of Jesus. Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not maybe. I will. Think about Joshua and all the pressure that was on him. And he stayed in that temple, and the Lord said He stayed with him. Oh, that encourages me. And then verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Now, we're recording on an afternoon, and the FedEx man has just delivered something to the front door. So if you hear barking, that's not Millie getting excited at what I'm teaching. She's right outside the door where my office is. Let me read that to you again in more quiet. Jesus, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So at times, just as Jesus said, let's go rest, come aside. And what was He saying? Come with me. And then He says, take my yoke. Now remember, one who takes a yoke is being trained. And when He said, take my yoke, I believe He was yoked to the Holy Spirit. And so He's got us yoked with our coach. So we're seeing all this we've been talking about come to fruition in one verse. And look at this coach. He's gentle. He's not going to push us. It says He's lowly in heart. And here's the promise. And you will find rest for your souls. Now you may say, well, wait a minute, we're talking about our spirit. The Greek word that is used for soul here is the Greek word for breath. And this is the same word which is translated spirit. So we have to develop a spirit that is at rest, a strong spirit. And where is it found? When we come to Jesus. And next week, we're going to begin to wrap this up. We're going to look at some of the things the devil might do, and we're going to get some encouragement from the Lord, I believe, about how to maintain this growth that we've all achieved during these weeks. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.